And good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on this Wednesday, and it is the fifth day of February. And
right.
Of course,
all right, we're getting close to that.
Yeah,
that big heart day, folks. Valentine's.
I was going to say what heart day?
No, yeah,
I'm just joking. Yeah,
yeah,
Valentine's Day's coming
yes,
up.
Yes.
I see somebody on the other day I've seen posted on social media. It's Valentine's, not Valentine's.
Okay.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about Clementine's when somebody put that on her, you know.
Right,
but anyway.
Right. Yeah, February rolls along. That's just a month that in the beginning of the February, a little flag goes up that in my head that says, don't forget, don't forget.
Don't forget.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you do, most time your significant other will let you know that you have forgotten. So, yeah,
I don't know. But anyway, I don't remember. I don't remember a lot of things. But for some reason, February.
You remember that, huh?
Is a cautionary month for me.
I got you. I understand.
Yeah, I got you.
So you doing all right?
Yes, I'm doing great.
Good. Good drive in.
Oh yeah.
Good.
I mean, you don't even have to ask me that, Brian. It's always a good drive in here. I get a chance to just talk with the Lord and to thank Him and praise Him and just to look about, left to right when you're on the road and just see how magnificent He is.
Oh my.
Everything that you see.
It's so good.
Feel, hear, touch, smell, everything comes from Him. It's just a wonderful gift.
That's right. Wonderful gift. Well, Bing, where are we picking up today?
Well, we are going, we're in, and we have been in for a little while now, the Thessalonians letters.
Okay.
And we actually, I think where we left off the last time was 1 Thessalonians 4:5. But if you're out there and you're listening and you want to follow along in your Bible, we're going to spend the first part of the program in the Colossians.
Okay.
In the letter to the Colossians, and that'd be Colossians 2, and there'll be some verses in Colossians 3 also.
So, okay.
I mean, that's where we'll pick up when we get back, Lord willing.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Missionary Radio, we are 100% listener-funded, and we thank you so much for being with us on the Front Porch this morning. Bing Verbis standing with us, of course.
All right, Brian. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, if you're out there and you're listening, you can open your Bibles or open your phone, whatever you use, to Colossians, the letter of Colossians. We're in the letters of Paul, and we'll start with Colossians, and then we'll work our way through the Thessalonian letters. That's the plan. Colossians 2:12 is where we'll open up today, and it tells us this, buried with him in baptism, okay, this verse tells us that we as believers are buried with Christ in baptism. I don't know what that means, do you? We'll find out. And if we're buried with him in baptism, the verse continues to tell us, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Wow. So if we are already raised with Christ, what does Colossians 3:1 tell us we should seek? Well, if you look at that verse, it says, those things which are above.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians 3:2 tells us we should set our affections on things above and not where. A little bit more information out of verse 2. On things on the earth, okay? That's not where we set our attention, on things of the earth.
So we really need to focus on
things that are
above.
That's right. And the hard thing about that is the things that we're supposed to focus on are usually invisible things. It has everything to do with our faith,
mm-hmm.
but we can't see. The things that we can't see, we're told in Scripture, are eternal. The things that we can see are all temporary.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we keep from setting our affections on things of the earth? Well, if you look at verse 3, it says, I mean, it almost sounds, it's really kind of hard to understand, and it sounds contrary, but how do we set our affections on things of the earth? Verse 3 says, for ye are dead. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We are dead. Are we? Are born-again Christians dead? Well, that can be answered in two ways, Brian. The first would be, no, we're not dead. We are definitely not dead, but alive in Christ. Mm-hmm. But that's in our inner man. That's mm-hmm. in our spirit and soul. The second answer would be, yes, we are alive in Christ, but we should consider ourselves dead in the outer man, in the flesh, mm-hmm. to the things of the world. That's how Christians become dead to all the glitter, all the glamour, all the enticements of the world or of the earth around us. Now, the Bible teaches Christians are dead to sin, according to Romans 6:2. Romans 6:2 says, and this is also Paul speaking, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in sin? The Bible teaches Christians are dead to the law, according to Romans 7:4, where the Apostle Paul again says, wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, that's speaking of Christ, we're the bride of Christ also, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto him. The more we can set our affections on the things above, and the less we can set them on the things of the earth, our soil, our inner soul, our inner man is more and more able to bring fruit unto God, mm-hmm. fruit of the kingdom. And Christians are dead to the rudiments of the world, or we should be that way, according to Colossians 2:20, which says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? That's speaking of the things of the world. And it goes on to say, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using. We don't dabble the wrong way into what's out there. Mm-hmm. If we are dead to sin, if we are dead to the law, if we are dead to the rudiments of the world, speaking, and rudiments of the world means things that originated or were birthed in this world. That's mm-hmm. what we're supposed mm-hmm. to not set our affection on. Why do we as Christians allow these things to keep us from experiencing the freedom we have in Christ? You know, the more that we can, in our inner man, allow the Spirit to guide us into things that we should do and block us from things that we shouldn't be doing, which all originate in the world, in the earth, those are natural things, the better off we're going to be. Mm-hmm. Now, as we're in Colossians 2, we'll look at the last verse in chapter 2, Colossians 2:23, it says, and in the King James it's really hard to understand, but it says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. To me, that's kind of really hard to get an understanding of. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean? Well, I believe, and I'm open to anyone's interpretation of what it means, but it just tells us we can't be obsessed with simply displaying these things outwardly, because we as Christians would be expected to display these things outwardly. That's what we'd be expected to do. It's not for show. When we abstain, when we do the things that Christians are supposed to be doing in the world's eyes, we don't do it for show. But it has to come from within the mm-hmm. inner man, mm-hmm. and with the Spirit's leading. And this is the only way we can truly put to death all the things of this world, that it can entangle us. Scripture says it ensnares us. Jesus said in the soils it can choke us. You know, the weeds of the world can choke mm-hmm, our fruit-bearing ability. Everything of this temporary world, nothing of this world will take us into eternity. So everything of this world is temporary, as I said before, and nothing of this world is going to be transferred into our eternal realm. So let's read Colossians 3:3 again. It says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Again, it's not for show, but it's that new life within us. It's invisible, like we said earlier. The things of this world are visible, highly visible, highly ensnaring, and they're temporary.
Yes.
The things that we can't see, the things we set our affections on, the things the Spirit puts into our mind to follow are invisible. They're inside of us. And that's where all this percolates in a Christian to either yield to the Spirit or yield to the way we once were.
True.
Our life is hid with Christ in God from all men who live in and of this world, but one day, according to Scripture, it's going to be revealed. Verse 4 tells us when that will happen. It says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." There's the payoff right there. We have to leave this world for the main payoff. He exhorts them. Them is those of us who are dead to the world, is who he's exhorting to subdue or have victory over their own desires. So where's the battle take place, Brian?
It's in our mind.
That's right. It takes place in our mind. Yeah. That's right. That's where we have to make decisions. You just don't go through this life as a Christian and let just anything form you or mold
that's
you.
Right. That's right.
So it goes on to say, "Mortify, therefore." Mortify, therefore. In other words, he says, "Render dead your members which are upon the earth." Now, your members has everything to do with your physical body, your tent, your earthly tabernacle upon the earth. And then he goes on to list what we are supposed to mortify. That's fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Usually that is related to sexual desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So all these things, if we let our mind entertain, can become such a hold on us that they be, Scripture calls them idols. They have more pull on us, and we gravitate to them more than what we do our Father, our Lord, Savior.
Very true. Yeah.
And then it goes on to say, "For which things' sake," these things that we just talked about, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, for which these things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on children of disobedience. There's the danger. There's a danger. "In which ye also walk some time when you lived in them." So we're born into this, Brian.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We, all men and women who are born upon this earth, are born under the sin curse of what Adam and Eve allowed to happen in the Garden of Eden, is transferred to us, and we at some time in our past as believers walked in that. We walked in that. And Paul is just saying, now that you are believers and you're born again believers in Jesus Christ, don't let your body lead you back into walking the way that you once were.
That's right.
That's exactly what it's telling us. These verses assume after we become born again believers in Christ, we became dead to sin, dead to the law, dead to the rudiments or the ordinances or principles of this world, because these verses end with, "in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them." These verses exhort us not to walk that way anymore. That's what Paul is telling us. The question is, and this is a question I have to ask myself, you have to ask yourself, all Christians need to ask themselves, are we separate from this world, or will we still be a part of this world? Will we go, will we continue in the flow of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 4:5. This is where we left off last week. And listen to what it tells us. Not in the lust of concupiscence. Again, that's a more of a sexual bodily lust and desires. Not in a lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Now, we can expect the Gentiles to live that way, and because the only way that they will know the things that they do is by knowing the Word of God or knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord. Paul was not stating that sexual desires are evil, for we just saw how holy and honorable the way God planned for sexual expression to be last week. Now, that's in the marriage. That's in the marriage of one man and one woman. It told us of keeping your vessels clean. But rather, he was thinking about the shameless way Gentiles of the of that day flaunted their sexual misdeeds. And we'll end right here. But just as we see the same shameless flaunting every day all around us on almost every channel we turn to, every direction we go, most every movie we see, every magazine that's out there, and even on our computer searches and our phones, you cannot get away with it. That's why we set our affections on things above and not things of the earth.
That's right.
And it's time for some reading of some very good letters sent in to us.
That's right, from pen from the heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Hopkinsville, I love Missionary Radio and everyone who has made it happen, past and present. I've been a listener and contributor since day one. I don't know what I'd do without it. God's blessings to you all. From Nebo, God bless you and keep up the wonderful work spreading the news of Jesus around the world. From Palmyra, I'm praying for you all and for God's provision. Thank you for providing good preaching and teaching from Chuck Swindoll, Stephen Davey, Tony Evans, Alistair Begg, Philip DeCourcy, Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth, etc. Blessings.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our Testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
And, of course, this is the Front Porch on this Wednesday. And Bing Verbist in with us, of course. And good study this morning. Yeah.
Thanks, Brian. So we were talking about the sexual sins and how easy it is to get entangled in that. And
you know, before you go any further, you talk about when you talk about that, you know, as I've been noticing on like on our news and everything that a lot of people are getting in, you know, involved with pornography, even the clergy of our churches. But you know, everywhere you turn, there's something there to bring it up.
Yeah,
you go on social media or whatever, you're scrolling through, and the first thing you see is somebody half dressed.
Yeah, I mean, it's there. It's
there.
Always.
Always there. Yeah. It's everywhere you turn.
Right. All right.
So it's tempting people all the time. I mean, it's there all the time. Yeah, everything you look at, everything you look, you know, commercials on TV, billboards, magazines, it's all over the place.
Yes. It's there. There is an effort to keep it in front of us at all times
at all
and
times.
Our children.
Yes.
I was looking on the internet the other day. No, it was YouTube. I was looking through some things, and they had a list of countries in Europe. They were ranked from 1 to 50, the best places to live and the worst places to live. Mm-hmm. And three or four of those countries, and they gave a brief reason why, three or four of those countries were considered the porn capitals of the world.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
That is not really a good thing to be known as of a country.
No.
Our country, I'm sure, produces it. It's just a matter of entangling people. It's a matter of addicting people.
Sure.
And the bad thing in the church is, from what I understand, there are studies that it's about as prevalent in the church as it is in the world.
That's right, yeah.
And we have to allow the Word of God to instruct us there.
Yes.
Because the least it will do, or the most it will do, however you want to look at it, it's going to take away any kind of fruitfulness.
Yes.
Any kind of integrity.
Yes.
Any kind of freedom that a Christian is supposed to have in Christ. You can become in bondage to it.
Yeah.
You can become skewed to it.
Yeah.
You can your worldview will be soured getting into it. But the most thing, and just like, Brian, just like when the children of Israel, you know, we have our lesson there in the Old Testament.
Sure.
The children of Israel, people say, why? Why did God command the children of Israel to kill every man, woman, and child in the land of Canaan when they went in? Why did God command them to tear down their altars? Why did God command them to take their groves and cut them down? Why did God command them to take their idols and ground them in the powder? Well, most of what those people in Canaan were worshiping had to do with fertility gods.
Yeah.
The groves were a place that they would hide under the shadows of the trees at night and would perform basically orgies. You know,
that's
what it was.
Oh yeah.
And if in those worship services they had children, they bore children.
Yeah.
Where did they go? Well, they went to their gods who would accept their children as sacrifices. They would burn their children to these gods. It was a hole that God knew.
Yeah.
Natural men and natural women will easily gravitate to.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And it's a hole that these people of the world now, who I believe are being prompted by the Satan, the forces of darkness, to do the same thing.
Oh, yes.
Those are the idols, those are the things that will just bind you.
Yes.
And any kind of fruitfulness there is going to be hampered.
That's right.
You know?
So that's right, very much so.
That's why we set our attentions on the things above.
Above, yes.
What God tells us by reading His Word, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and forsake the things that we can see, that we can taste, that we can smell, that we can hear, that we can feel, because all those are of our senses, our natural senses.
That's right, that's right.
We have another sense as Christians, and that's a sense that the Holy Spirit gives us.
That's right.
That's to view these things in the right and proper way.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, we'll go to 1 Thessalonians 4:6 next. It says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Now, I've heard this verse being taught as saying this: pay your bills on time. Any financial dealings you have with your brother or folks, you are honest with them, and just keep that clean between brother and brother. Well, if that's what the verse is saying to folks, that's great, because that would be true. But if the vessel, okay, mentioned in verse 4 means the wife of a man, okay, And if verse 4 tells us we should know how to possess our wife in sanctification and honor because we choose to abstain from these fornications. And I believe that's kind of where we're going because we are on the topic of sexual sins outside of the marriage covenant. If verse 5 tells us we should choose to do that because we know God, unlike the Gentiles who don't know God, verse 6 could mean that no man defraud his brother by seducing his brother's wife or by paying her unjust attention to corrupt her and perhaps break up his brother's home. It seems this verse still refers to the sexual overtones, the sexual sins, and not cheating or shortchanging a brother financially. Why? Why do I see that? Because verse 7 finishes up with, "For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness." Every type of perversion was practiced among the heathen at that time, the Gentiles that knew not God. Their gods, their rulers, their teachers were examples of impurity. They had no system of ethics that forbade these immoral sexual practices. Whatever the precise meaning of verse 6 may be, it is clear Paul is calling on Thessalonians to sanctify themselves, and I believe that means physically while alive on this earth. Take hold. Take hold of that body.
Yes.
Let it be subject to the spirit within you, mm-hmm. and not let the body, or let the spirit within you be subject to the body.
Yes.
1 Thessalonians 4:8 says, "He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who also given unto his Holy Spirit, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." Now, here's a principle in this verse. It's expressed in various ways in Scripture. God clearly considers certain sins as direct sins against him. In Genesis 9:6, we see God considers murder as a direct sin against him. It tells us this, "And whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." Now, why did God make that statute? Well, the verse goes on to tell us why. "For in the image of God made he man." Mm-hmm. Murder is against not just our physical body made by God, because we don't get this statute when any other living creature's bodies are killed mm-hmm. upon this earth. Murder is against our physical body, and here's the key. It's made in the image of God. Despising the least child or a believer, we find, is a direct sin against God, according to Matthew 18:10, where Jesus says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." That's when they're in their innocent stage and those angels mm-hmm. are so, so close. Now, Luke 10:16 tells us, "He that heareth you heareth me. He that despises you despiseth me. And he that despises me despises him that sent me." Any mistreatment of any human being is a direct sin against God, and he will hold us accountable for doing that. We are at a place right now, we're going to have a visit from our very good friend of ours.
That's right, Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope.
Don't you love how Jesus is always seeking the lost? Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata, and our loving Lord Jesus is out to redeem things and people who are lost and broken. He opens his heart and displays his compassion in the parable of the lost sheep, in the parable of the lost coin, and finally, in the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. Right there, three parables about the exact same thing. So indeed, Christ has come to seek and save that which is lost. And if you are asking Jesus to bring home a wayward son or daughter, you have a heart for the lost as well. But when children decide to rebel and go their own way, you know that Christian parents can experience two kinds of hurt. One hurt keeps resonating. It's the hurt you felt when your son or daughter slowly became someone else, someone you didn't recognize, someone who chose a path down into a dark culture and its enticements. The other hurt you experience concerns the eternal consequences facing that child who continues in rebellion, and that is a hurt that's far worse. I know this because I've been praying for the teenage daughter of a dear Christian friend. My friend raised her, call the daughter Janice. She raised Janice well, Sunday school, Christian camp, Christian friends. But when Janice entered high school, things changed. My friend said, "Johnny, it seems overnight that Janice started failing at grades, failing to show up for meals, failing her Christian friends." To make a long story short, Janice just left a note one night and left the house. The last time I saw Janice, she had changed her dress, hairstyle, and decided she wanted to become a boy. Oh, and my friend is anguishing over those two hurts that I mentioned. The first one, that Janice left home, and the other hurt, that she'll be lost for eternity. But my friend and I continue to pray for the soul of my friend's daughter, whom she loves dearly. And that's the key, isn't it? Jesus says in Luke 18, "You should always pray and never give up." Do not lose heart, he says. Always pray and never give up. In fact, listen to this prayer for prodigals. And please, if you have a prodigal, pray along with me, would you? And Janice's mother, pray with us, saying, "Oh, our infinitely wise and good Father, we come into your throne room to lay our request humbly before you. We ask for our loved one who is rebelling against you and against us right now. Keep them safe from evil in this world. Guard their hearts from hurting others or themselves. And let them know that you are close and ready to hear their cries. And Father, when the time is right, we ask that you take them back into your fold. Bring them home to us. We ask for the wisdom to recognize your timing. And when that time arrives, may our hearts be ready to run down the path to them and embrace them and celebrate their return with great joy, just as you've described in your parable. Oh, Father, we ask these things, trusting in your compassion and knowing that you are a good and merciful God. We also ask because you've already shown us your great love by sending your Son Jesus to rescue us out of our own rebellion. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Finally, do not forget Luke 18, where Jesus tells us to pray at all times and not lose heart. And there are more words of hope in my gift to you today, a resource called The Parable of the Prodigal Son. Go to johnnyradio.org right now and get your free copy. And if you know a parent who's praying for a prodigal, order a gift for them. It's free. The Parable of the Prodigal Son at johnnyradio.org.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Psalm 25:9, "He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way." How would you like to know the right path every time? In this time of smartphones, you can simply enter an address and instantly receive the fastest route to your destination. You can be confident that you'll know the direct path, never needing to worry about getting lost. But did you know that as a child of God, you have a more reliable guidance system? It's found in this verse. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. No one likes to be told what to do. I know I don't. You naturally want to make your own decisions without asking permission. But this verse promises that you can follow the right way by doing one thing: admitting that you need guidance. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
If you've tried to listen to the old app for missionary radio on your iPhone, you may have noticed it's not there. Missionary Radio now has a new app available for iPhone and Android users. It's click and easy to download. For iPhone users, go to the App Store and enter the keywords Missionary Radio, and you'll be ready to install it. For Android users, go to Google Play, enter the keywords Missionary Radio, and you'll be set to install it. Once you've installed the new Missionary Radio app, we encourage you to share it with a friend. Invite your church family to download our new app. You will help us promote the station while at the same time share the gospel too. This reminder: the old app is gone, but we have a new app available for Apple and Android users. The keywords are Missionary Radio for the download. Thank you for listening to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio. online at missionary.radio and your free app.
Missionary Radio.
Glad to know it's all about Jesus, right, B?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for coming.
Yes.
Thank you, God, for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us an instruction book.
Yes.
Now, we were talking about, before the break, the sexual sins, the effort of the world. Now, I'm not talking about the whole world, but the effort of the world that is deceived. And we're told in Scripture the God of this world, the little g God of this world, the Satan. And so he's doing everything he can do to tear us down, to break down the hedges, to get in to our minds. And we were talking about the issue of pornography and how that is so almost everywhere, you know.
Yes.
And we have to be aware of what that can do. But also, Brian, I don't want to sound like holier than thou sort of thing, but people who are into that, or people who are even propagating that, are deceived.
Yeah,
we don't agree with them. We should stand against that. But something a Christian should always understand, they are, as everyone else who doesn't believe in God, part of our mission field.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we, just like Paul here, we know the direction Paul took before he became a believer in Christ. And who would have thought that God would open his mind up and his soul up and his spirit up to becoming the man that has given us instruction in his word today?
True.
We have to always remember that men and women who are made in the image of God, no matter what their lifestyle may be, are still there, open. Maybe they're not ready to receive. Maybe they'll curse you for telling them, but they are still part of the mission field. We still try to love them and care for them and have compassion on them, even though there are times we don't want anything to do, you know, with what they are embedded
True.
In. And
True.
That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Anyway, Matthew 25, 31 through 40 explains, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations." Now, we're talking about nations who, some of them in Europe who are called porn capitals of the world. Okay, so here's near the end. "And he shall separate these nations one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say," this is when Jesus comes back, this is the judgment of the nations here, "say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." Earlier we were talking about the things that we should do as Christians. They're not for show. They're not for show. They should be what makes up our fabric. We should be doing these things by the leading of the Spirit. These people were doing these things by the leading of the Spirit. They didn't even know. They didn't even know that they were ministering the things of God to people around them. When people despise Jesus and the gospel, God sees that as a direct sin against him also. In John 12:48, he says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day." So we are commanded to share the word. And if people reject him, we don't judge them. The word judges them.
Mm-hmm.
But we never know. We never know when somebody will have the light bulb click on in their head and understand exactly when the Spirit comes down what we're talking about. Paul was warning the Thessalonians, just as he is warning us today, that any time we are despising or rejecting or hurting or mistreating any man or any woman who are made in the image of God, we are sinning as if directly sinning against God. Verse 8 ends with, who hath also given unto us the Holy Spirit. That's the separation right there from the world and the world, or from the word and the world.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the Holy Spirit is the only way we will be able to live among men in a way that is pleasing to God. And without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to live in a way that is pleasing to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. The less we can get ourselves in this mindset, in this movement, when we're doing kingdom work, the better.
Mm-hmm.
The more we are filled with the Spirit, it's the better. Jesus spoke impossible teachings to those who were listening to his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:38. He says, you have heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Mm-hmm.
But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also.
Mm-hmm.
And whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Old Testament ways, law ways. But I say unto you, New Testament ways, love ways, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why do we do this? Well, Jesus goes on to say that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. Listen to this, Brian. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just
and the unjust.
And on the unjust.
Mm-hmm.
For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? We could say, or the unbelievers do the same today? And if you salute your brethren only, what more do you do than others? Do not even the publicans so? And here's the kicker. And this is the Spirit. This has got to have the Spirit in us to receive this. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The Spirit is the key, folks. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Spirit is dwelling in you, and you have to access the Spirit. You have to let him do his thing. Mm-hmm. Relinquish your power and give him the power, and that's the road to perfection.
Yes.
Now, if these teachings seem impossible to us, who are believers in Jesus today, how much more impossible or just plain nonsense does Jesus' word seem to be to the world around us? And when we treat people this way, unbelievers, sometimes they're going to just be very, very wary of our motives.
Oh, yes.
You know, they're not going to be able to understand these things.
Mm-hmm.
And we can tell them, and they may not even receive those words. But the main thing is we look at all these images of God around us, and that's all mankind, and we try to love them and have compassion for them and somehow do our part into bringing them into the kingdom. We have to be careful to understand what despising other men and women on this planet means to our God. And I think that's the lesson here. And that's a pretty good place to bring the program to an end, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Can I pray?
Sure can.
Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for those who are faithful listeners and those who would just happen to turn on the radio today and hear the program. We pray, Lord, that your word speaks, that your word will speak, and that the truth of your word will prevail. Lead us, Lord. Lead us, Lord, in a way that will be pleasing to you, in obedience to you, in love for all people around us, but mostly our love for you. We come to you in the mighty name of our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bing. And you've been listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio. Join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.